Our theme for this year, the theme is Go the Extra Mile in 2023. Go the Extra Mile. It's interesting because Jesus was the one that said, hey, let me just tell you how you and I should act in society. Matthew 5, 41, he was mentioning somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So for us, it was no small thing for many of us because we were recognizing so much of what we do and who we are in Jesus. It almost comes naturally to participate, to be service-minded, to be generous. But that area where we go the extra, maybe God will be speaking to us in a different way. And what would that look like? I'd usually call it the word risk. You know, it's like, hey, I've not gone this much or this far before, but it's sure going to be exciting. And we're going to really take a look at it with regards to how we're going to be praying with the Four Square movement. But you know me, before I announce this message today, part one of our series, Go the Extra Mile, heard a cute story. This couple, they were celebrating their joint 60th birthday party, and lo and behold, an angel appeared. Now, you know it's a joke when I say that, right? We do hear it does happen, though, right? You read about it. And the angel says, you know, you both have been very good. I'm going to grant you one request. And the wife says, oh, I always wanted to travel all around the world. And all of a sudden, poof! And as the dust and smoke settled, she was holding travel tickets. She goes, oh! And then looked over to the husband. He hung his head low and says, well, I always wanted to be married to a woman that was 30 years younger than me. And poof! And once the smoke settled, he was 90 years of age. That'll teach you. All right. You're as young as you feel. Today's message is taking a look at our theme, Go the Extra Mile, but today it's the extra mile praying strategically. Praying strategically. We want to take a look at this element and the importance of that, but let's pray. Father, where would we be without you? What can we do without Jesus? He's our starting point and our finishing point. And Holy Spirit, you're going to make sure we arrive at all those destinations. Teach and lead us now. Show us, open our hearts, what really is happening in the unseen realm. In Jesus' name, amen. When we take a look at how God loves you, God loves every human being, regardless of culture, regardless of their national upbringing, regardless of who they are. God does not love some people in some nations better than others. He loves everyone passionately. And in this world, there's really 8 billion people, and God loves everyone, really 7.9 billion people. And God is earnestly looking to reach and to embrace them. His heart is for people. And he really would hope that his followers would love people as much as he does. It's going to be important when we take a look at that. His heart is to help us work in that area to reach. I am always impressed. Why doesn't God send an angel to reach people? There have been certain accounts in the 1040 window that there are those maybe hidden people groups or those Arab-speaking groups where God sovereignly visits them. But God's number one A-team is still his church to go and visit people. So I'm inviting us to consider in 2023 that extra mile. Let's pray that God would do something spectacular along with our Four Square movement, because they realize there's a lot of people still unreached. There's a lot of groups. Strategies don't always work. To just think we're going to open our doors up and people are just going to come on in to Hope Chapel, that's not going to happen. There are certain things that we need to really specifically do. Now, I like fishing, but if I'm not going to fish if I don't catch fish. I don't like fishing if I don't catch fish. I'll go hiking and enjoy the outdoors. But to really catch fish, you have to go with some strategic strategies in order to catch a lot of fish. And God has a way as well, but we need to seek Him on how that would look. And so we begin today to understand how we can pray strategically for others. That's our point. And that's the beginning of our theme for this year. Let's take a look at that. I'm trusting that you have a bulletin in hand, bulletin card, because you're going to need that to recall some of the prayers that are listed there. But let's look at our first point. Pray for spiritual understanding. It's going to be our first point. How, Lord, are we going to pray strategically? We're going to pray for spiritual understanding. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 4. You who are following us at home, thank you. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. If you have another translation, please mark that down. Look over, mark up your Bible. God's not intimidated. Somehow you highlight things in your Bible. But here we go. It says in verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, we're going to understand, first of all, that Satan's role is to keep people captive. See what the Bible says. Satan is endeavoring to make sure people do not understand what your lifestyle and belief about Jesus is all about. Satan is actively working to really keep people away from knowing about Jesus. Any attempt you and I have to go out and share the good news, how much God loves you, and you forget that Satan is going to block them from understanding, is absolutely foolishness for me. I realize that it's just not a conversation piece here. There's going to be things that happen. There's a demonic realm that's actively deceiving people so that they cannot understand, they will not hear, and that's where we have to pray for understanding, especially for people. Look what Jesus said about Satan. I'm in John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. And when he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Have you ever had a conversation with somebody about just simply going to church? About simply just saying, "Man, I'm really into the Bible lately"? I mean, people will look at you, look at us and say, they're confused, they're perplexed. They'll just, "Yeah, good for you, man, that sounds good." They have no concept. They feel that could be a little bit crazy. Are you into some cult? There's an area, can you imagine you share how much God loves them and gives them a free access into a relationship and to heaven, and they say no? I mean, that just still boggles my mind. "No, I don't want my sins forgiven. I'm happy with my bondage and addiction. I'd much rather be an irritable old grump. Nobody calling me lately. You can keep your Jesus. You can keep your heaven. I'm happy with the miserable life I have." They don't say that. But that's what they're really, really comfortable with, that misery. That's got to be something in action there that's taking place. So when we look here and we deal with that, you would want to write down Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, because it really goes into detail much, much more, because it's talking about our relationship with people that are not Christ followers. Your struggle is not with people. You have an issue with somebody today, it's not with people. Bible says there are principalities, unseen realms, spiritual wickedness in high places. That's your issue. Yes, so you're only complicating, confusing the situation when you get hostile with people. Watch out, be careful. Therefore, our job is to pray strategically against spiritual blindness, pray against removing the blindness, and having people be able to see and understand. So you can take a look and say, well, let me give you now a simple prayer to pray. You take a look now on your bulletin. Let's begin here. You can see it. Lord, and I'll just read that. You can follow along, but it's right there on your card. Lord, I ask that you would remove the spiritual blindness from, and please open their eyes and heart to see their need for you. Please let them understand your truth, and please expose the lies that the enemy has sown into their lives. It's a good prayer. Our efforts here today is praying strategically. We're going the extra mile. And today, I think the extra mile is it's not all about your needs. There are people God loves. And we can only do so many things around the church and realize, why is it not bearing fruit? What are we lacking? Let's seek God. And he would say to us today, there's a darkness over certain homes. There's challenges and assaults on society. And he's revealing some of that to us. So who do you have in your circle of relationships you could pray that prayer for? Who do you have? You may want to jot those names down. Spirit of God would say, you're the intercessor for that person. Number two, pray the word of God finds good soil. Now, to understand that phrase, good soil, you'd have to understand then and know your Bible reading this last year where Jesus was talking about the sower and the seed. It's in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. And it's interesting because in that, it starts off in verse 1 that Jesus says, let me tell you what the kingdom of God is like. That a farmer basically goes out and he throws seed out. He's ready to harvest something once it starts to grow. But there's a reaction to that seed. And it's worth noting, because chapter 4 is a very long chapter, all about the sower and the seed. God's all about getting the word out there. And it's worth noting that verse 34, Mark 4, 34, it says that when Jesus spoke to the thousands, he spoke in parables. But when he spoke to his disciples, he told them plainly, plainly. I'm grateful that we get a chance to have the plain reality of what the sower is sowing, which is the word of God. Amen. It's important for us. See, most people, Jesus knew they could not understand. He literally said it's prophetic that they can't hear, can't understand. But he did try to still tell them heavenly truths, telling them an earthly story they can relate to. But he said this, that there are four responses to the word of God whenever it goes out, like it is today. Literally, we could say that 25% of you watching with me right now, that this message will probably bear some results, some fruit. 75%, no way. You won't hear it. You can't understand it. You may be distracted. You're wondering, did I set the oven right for that roast today? I wonder if my relative expects me to call and you get distracted. So this is what Jesus said about Satan's interference with the word of God. Here we go. Mark 4, 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once. See that word, at once. He comes at once. New King James says he comes immediately and takes it away. So that's why so many times we could literally say it's only 25% of this message going to bear any results. And we know it's the hearer who does the doing of the word that is the blessed person. But Satan's role is to steal God's word so that it doesn't start to produce. That's why we pray that it lands on good soil. But that hard path, that hard ground, have you ever seen that I know people. Some of them are related to me. They have become so hard to the good news of God's love and just simply just going to church and giving God an hour or two of your time. That when you share something good from the word to them, it goes beep, boom, and then phew. And Satan takes it. It has no bearing to them. How about this? Beep, boom, and it becomes hard. And the seed bears no results. Why? Because Satan snags it away. Sometimes in our experience, you can literally see that happen to you. If you start to tell him what good things maybe you were doing with God this last holiday season, they start making fun. Really? You go to church? Isn't that a cult? Don't you just consider that? I don't see the Bible the way you do. They just make such fun about that and can't say even more vile things. So you be careful about that. I do find instead of getting more tender to the things of God, they become more hard and resistant. Why? It's not them. It's not somehow you need a little more intellectual ability to reason with people. We've got to pray, God, help that soil to be tender. Yeah. And I realize in my doings with my family members, my extended relatives, that Satan usually sets up three hard soils. One is false religions. That usually, well, isn't every religion just a different approach to God? Doesn't that just sound so enlightening? Doesn't that sound? I mean, we know that Satan is called an angel of light. And then I come along and say, but yes, the Bible says that Jesus is the only way to eternal life. That sounds like hate speech when you go up like that. The other one is somehow where then people totally pull out and say, well, I don't believe there's a God. And I certainly don't believe that there is no need for religion. So they're completely out the other way. And that they become very hard in their heart. But God says it. And that's just the way works of darkness come. And then the other, third and final area that I think is very hard soil is through just human pain. People who are in pain. And we do a comparison. Why do they have it so good? My body is in just riddled with aches. That if God is all loving, how come he doesn't come and do something for me? And the word of God goes out. So we have to be very mindful. So how do we pray strategically against this? Let's take a look. Under point two, here's a prayer to pray. Lord, we pray for... We ask that you would soften their heart. We pray that they would be exposed to the truth of your word and not reject it. Would you increase the exposure of truth? Would you bring the right people into their lives to hear the truth? We ask that our spiritual enemy would not be allowed to steal the truth from them again. Let their hearts become good soil so God's truth can take root in them. Who do you need to pray for that way? Just think about that. Just consider that. You could be that person that God finally says, I've been waiting for somebody to intercede for that person. Who do you need to pray? Number three, pray for opportunities. I like this one because I know what it is to just kind of go barreling on in, and it doesn't really bring any results. So I wait on divine opportunities. But check it out with me in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Pray for us, too, that God would give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. It's pretty wonderful to understand God's role in creating divine opportunities. For you and I to think about that opens our awareness when an opportunity happens. How many of us may have not really recognized when a divine opportunity to just pray for somebody or even just talk to somebody about how much God loves him because of the cross and resurrection. It's worth noting those opportunities to share about Jesus. If we don't really wait on those opportunities, it's not as easy. I find it is not as easy. It comes across forced, comes across judgmental. I think I appear a little unloving. Feels as if somehow I'm a little more, efforts are damaging. I remember a relative of mine, we all got saved. We were so excited about God. We want everybody to repent. And one of my relatives decided to tell my mom and dad that we think the Pope's the Antichrist. That, we're still paying for some of that one. So you could see, like, let's wait for divine opportunity. It can be painful. And they realize that's not the case now. Is that all right? Huh? You could be living in your neighborhood. Who knows? But divine opportunities are so important. I remember the time I picked up a hitchhiker and I was pushing for the sale. Learned that when I was street evangelizing in Hollywood Boulevard. We met up at what we'd call the Holy Ghost repair shop, and I would go in there and find somebody that looked like they needed God and press them against the wall, and I wouldn't let them go until they prayed the sinner's prayer with me. I think they prayed only to get me off their case and leave me alone. And when I took this hitchhiker, I usually, this is still the way I will describe a person, hey, friend, you know, one day we're going to die. When that happens to you, you'd like to go to heaven, wouldn't you? Yeah, who wouldn't? Well, do you know what God has done for you to go to heaven for free? Simple question. When they answer correctly, Jesus, it saves me a whole lot of time. Then I plug them into a church. They're usually not going. Or if they don't know, then I share how much God loves them through the cross and resurrection. And in this occasion, he did know. I shared all about it. I'm tootling along. We're almost to his destination. So you said you wanted to go to heaven. Would you like to pray to receive Jesus? No, I don't. What? So I wanted to pull over and drop him off early. It's like, get out. Get out. This was an evangelistic Holy Ghost repair shop here. And dropped him off. I felt like such a failure. It's like, Lord, I'm going to stop telling people. Nobody seems to be responding. And I remember God says, Paul, failure is not having people respond to your invitation of me. Failure is giving them nothing to respond to. So let's continue to invite people, but let's look for those divine opportunities. Remember 1 Corinthians 3:7, so clearly says that some water that seed. You come along, and, so-and-so was telling me the same thing, a little water. And others will harvest that seed. Isn't that cool? But we all play a part. I am so excited with the thousands of Christians in Huntington Beach. You're all out there in different areas of society, all influencing people. It's so great. It's great. Get them out there, God. Get them out there in study session. Get them out there in work environments. Get them out there in the grocery stores, in the marketplace, in downtown sector. It's perfect. That's really how God works it out. So how many opportunities do we miss simply because we could be scared to pray for opportunities? I'm not going to pray for an opportunity. That may mean I have to talk. But let's leave that to the Lord. When it's a divine encounter, man, something pretty outstanding starts to happen. And it makes you feel like your day is all worth it. But let's look under point number 3, this prayer. Lord, I pray you would give me an opportunity to represent you to others. Help me see and notice those opportunities. May I be open and available for you to direct anyone to me throughout my day, wherever I'm at. Please empower me to be spiritually sensitive to others in their journey to you. What a great prayer. Would you consider doing that? Some of you are already thinking, I'm terrified to think about that, but we'll work through that. We'll work through that. When God starts to set you up, it's pretty fun. Number four, pray for clarity and encourage. Clarity and courage. I like the area in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and pray for me, the Apostle Paul says, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan. Wow, that great theologian, the Apostle Paul, is asking for your prayers, that doors would be open, that God would give them boldness. It's pretty intriguing. I think it's outstanding. The great evangelist and church planter, Paul, he even had times where he was afraid. Why would I not be afraid? But he was. It's interesting to note in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, when we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us. We faced conflict from every direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside. Wow. That guy was really struggling that. You understand how much fear plays in our part of being paralyzed to share and help people. Even sometimes praying, we were not too sure if prayer actually is effective. So it's important for us, but fear is one of the biggest barriers to overcome for Christians. I call it the slippery slope. Fear leads you and me to unbelief, and then the next stage is only called rebellion. I know God wants to use you and me. I know that. You do too. You feel it. Something great's going to happen in my life. God's going to use me for some way. But then we get afraid. And then we reason it out. And then we say, no, God, I'm not going to let you use me. It's kind of like, remember the 12 spies going into the promised land. You write down Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Those 12 spies, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. It is going home week. God says, go on into the land to see how you can take it. They thought they heard if. There's a big difference between how and if. And 10 of them come back with what the Bible says, an evil report. And they literally said in Numbers 14, verse 3 and 4, they reason to themselves and say, you know what? Why did God bring us to this place to die by the sword? Well, let's go back to Egypt. We had it better, and they started to develop another leader to take them back to Egypt. Now, I've seen that with Christians. It starts to get a little bit difficult living for God. We kind of forget there it's an unseen realm. And they say, you know what? I actually had it better when I hung out with my friends who had the dope. But we don't think about we were in bondage and addicted and nobody liked us. And we were short on cash. But no, it was better back then during Partyville. But we forget. And that's what Israel was doing. They forgot they were just hamburger meat. But the devil will never tell you that. Let's go back. And that turned out terrible for them. So when God's people allow fear to reside in their hearts, it will lead us down a road of unbelief. And eventually, I call it rebellion. Did God ask you to do that? I don't know. So let's be careful about that. So why we pray for courage? Let's take a look at that under number four. Here's your prayer. Lord, I willingly present my life to you to use however you desire. I ask that you would empower me to overcome my fears and grant me the courage. I need to follow you. I give you each fear right now and lay them before you. I ask that you would grant me courage and the right words as you give me opportunities. I believe what you say in your word, that you did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So it's going to be important for us to pray that. Lord, it's not going to happen unless you do something in me. Number five, because we're talking, go the extra mile, but let's pray strategically. Number five, pray for more to come and help with the harvest. That harvest, meaning the world, it's interesting. Jesus gives us a specific way to pray. And that is in this portion. Let me read Luke 10, verse 2. And these were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Wow. That's important. So who do you know? Maybe it's yourself, I would venture to say, but who do you know that's actually working the field to get the gospel out? Let's eliminate the popular radio, Christian radio broadcasts, or the very famous television productions. How about people that you know are out there working the fields? What Jesus is saying, the field's ready to go. But he says there is a labor shortage. That's what he's asking. Pray for people to go into those areas. So we need to care about the fact that people need to know about Jesus. That's where we want to land on our message today. Our church message and mission is to reach out across the street and around the world to make functioning followers of Jesus. It's a big mission, but there's a lot of harvest out there. So I'm excited we get a chance to pray. Sometimes in church, like Hope Chapel, certain programs don't produce anymore. Certain things need to be shut down. Other areas need to be just adjusted a little bit. And one thing that we're doing in 2 weeks when our life groups begin, we're moving all of our life groups out of the church into home settings. I'm very excited about it, and it touches my heart that our life group leaders are all for that as well. You know, life groups, small groups, so much more inviting when people don't feel intimidated to come to a church for a Bible class, but they will if you invite them to a home setting. We're believing that as we strategically go to the city and place life groups in neighborhoods. Didn't that sound great? And what God will do, and how much more convenient, how much more lovely for you and I to invite somebody to a home for the Bible study. Man. And with the messages God's downloading to us, we get to share with others. It's wonderful. So let's ask God for more people who are willing to go work the fields. I'm excited that we're going to get a chance this coming Monday to begin our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Let me pray right now with you. Shall we do that? Let's begin. Father, thank you for your goodness. And even as we just enjoy seeing some things about praying strategically, you know our hearts, O Lord. And for some of us, maybe where we're at, there is no connection with you. We have no relationship with you. We want that. So, Lord, right now we pray together. If you're here with us or you're joining us in your convenience online, and you know you're not where you need to be with God, Jesus is right there at the door of your heart, waiting to be invited in. Let me welcome you all to pray this prayer of surrendering your life to Jesus. It goes like this. Dear Jesus, I believe in you that you are the Savior of the world. And I confess to you my need as Savior. I ask you, Almighty God, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for eternal life in heaven with you. Now, Jesus, make me the kind of person You want me to be not what I want, but what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you prayed that prayer for the first time to receive it, would you just raise your hand and say, that was me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory be to God. Thank you. Anyone else want to raise your hand? Or you recommitted your life to the Lord and you're not intimidated. You want to let people know, I have surrendered my life back to the Lord. Praise God. You who are joining us online, would you let me know as well? It's very important. I think that confession, just like we, just a simple acknowledgement for these two hands, and maybe you're here too, that acknowledgement is so important. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that if we confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So anticipate a renewing and a changing. I thank God for each and every one of you. What a great day. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.